This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Hey, Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho!
And a bottle of rum, what's up?
That's mixing two different things.
Well, pirates have Christmas, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I think probably.
Yeah, they just put a Christmas tree on their ship.
I think they just get extra drunk.
Ho, 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 and a bottle of rum.
Hell yeah. I'm Clarissa.
I'm Courtney.
And welcome to 30, 30, and Dying, the official Christmas episode. Because it's Christmas, actually.
That's exciting.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Chrysler.
Merry Chrysler and a happy Honda days.
Anyways.
It's Christmas, and we decided that we were going to power through the holiday season and do holiday episodes because it's so rare. We get 30 Thursday on the
other
actual
than Thanksgiving.
Because it's always on Thursday. So that one's a given, and sometimes we do it, sometimes we skip it. But I don't think we've had a Christmas Thursday.
No.
While we've been in season.
No.
The whole time we've done the pod.
Wild.
Yeah. So.
What a way to almost end the season.
Yeah. We've got one more episode after this. Guess what? We're joining you for New Year's Day also.
Whoa. You got Thanksgiving with us. You got Christmas with us. You got New Year's with us.
Yep. You've gotten the holiday season with us.
Yeah. Who needs to spend time with their family? You can spend time with us.
Yeah.
We're your family now.
Yeah. We hope you're having a great holiday no matter what you're doing. And if you're spending it solo this year, no, you're not. You're with 30, 30, and Dying, your favorite six at millennials. And we're here to have Christmas with you.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into the day's episode, let's talk a little bit about Christmas. What's our favorite things about Christmas? What are some traditions we love? What are our Christmases looking like this year?
Busy.
Yeah, always for you.
Always, because we have to go to every person's family, everything.
Yeah.
Starting off strong with Christmas Eve with Mike's mom.
Okay.
Christmas Day is with his, like, dad and stepmom and, like, that family.
Yeah.
And then my sister and then my aunt's family. And then the following day, we have a couple friends coming over. Like, Melissa's coming to town.
Oh.
So we're going to do, like a friends type of
thing. That's fun.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that I so do not miss about, like, a large extended family Christmas. Because when we would go to, like, my aunt's house, and it would be, like, all my aunts, all my cousins, and, like, my grandma was alive. We did it for a couple years after she died, but then it fell out. It just wasn't the same. But, we would do, I mean, when we were kids, everybody just got the kids' presents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but when we got older, it was, like, gift exchanges, and we would do, like, the white elephant thing, and I fucking hated that. It was so annoying. You know what I would do? I would buy shit that I wanted, and then I'd stick with it. Or one of my cousins, when we were closer, we would ask each other, what do you want? So yeah, there's too many politics in these big gifts exchanges. I don't miss it. I just like, Bob, yeah. Justin, pets, Justin's son.
But also, we have family games. So not only do we just play games.
This is a Chopped thing, right?
Well, that was last year, yeah.
What is it this year?
It's mine. I created the games this year.
What
so
is
each
the
person. Clue.
I love that. Colonel, fuck me up mustard.
But I went all out. So it's not just live action Clue. It's like escape room live action Clue.
Are you going to lock somebody in a room?
No, but what I'm doing is they're going to have to go into the garage for like an hour while I set this thing up. Because I created so much stuff for this game. Like, I mailed them letters in characters that I created for them. They have to dress up. I need to figure out clothes that I'm wearing because I'm like the host, right?
Damn, no wonder you don't ever text me back. You're so busy making up shit.
I created cards. So I'm going to hide the cards. And to find the cards around the house, there's going to be clues.
Yes, quite.
Quite. But I'm also going to have, like, trivia and stuff like that. So, like, I'm going to have, like, a mid, like, every maybe 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to be like, you got to come back here. We're playing a little swap game.
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if at some point, maybe next season, what if we did a video episode and you made us a game of Clue?
I was actually thinking about having Mike come on and he, like, we play D&D.
Okay, maybe that, but...
But we could also do
live action. I love what you're describing. Like, I hate the idea of doing this in a group setting, but uh-huh. I would love to see what you came up with.
Okay.
Like, you'll have to give me the rundown okay. once you've played the game and...
One of them that I'm actually kind of proud of is, you know the game Ticket to Ride?
Yeah, I mean, not well, but I've heard of it.
Okay, so I'm going to have Ticket to Ride laid out. And then I'm going to put the trains in specific locations based on, like, the cards. Those cards have numbers. Those numbers are going to be associated with a code. That code is going to tell them where the cards are.
It's so wild to me how, like, your brain works in overdrive for things like this. But then it's like, you don't know what happened yesterday. It's fascinating.
And then I'm also going to, I hope this fucks them up. I'm going to have, I'm going to write on a back of a puzzle, like a clue, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to have two matching puzzles and they're going to have two different things on the back of them. So if they put the wrong ones together, it'll be the wrong clue.
Diabolical.
I know. I'm really excited about that one too.
Well, I hope it goes well. That sounds exhausting. Well,
I swear to God, if it doesn't go well, I'm going to
just leave. Come over here.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
She'll be like, you know what? Fuck you guys.
I'm out. But no, that sounds fun. I hope it's a good time. Yeah, we don't do anything fucking like that anymore. And I'm so happy. Literally it's like, and moms will, we have dinner. It's takeout mm-hmm. and it's usually like Italian, like pasta and shit. Cause that's what we would have on Christmas
pasta.
Eve. And we hang out, maybe we'll play a game or something, but it's pretty fucking chill. We just like to chill.
Yeah.
We're chilly billies.
Yeah, after I even did a Morse code. They have to
say that again.
Morse.
Okay.
Morse code.
Because you said Morris.
Morris code.
Rigor
it's a
Morris.
Code about Morris.
That was hilarious. Well, good luck with your game.
Thank you.
And we hope you guys are having a clueless Christmas out there.
Or, that's what I called it.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
We're so simpatico. I love it. All right. Well, a lot of times on Christmas Eve, we make sure we watch Christmas movies. That's a big tradition. I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of people watch
yeah.
Christmas movies and work them into whatever their holiday celebration is.
Holiday Hoobie Woody.
Exactly. Pretty much every episode this month, you've said that. So we thought for our Christmas episode, we'd throw a Christmas movie extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know anything about this.
I know. When I texted you about it, I was like, I know it sounds weird, but I have a vision.
And I was like, perfect, do it.
Okay. So what we're going to do.
No thoughts, only feels.
Is for our main helping of Christmas dinner today,
mm-hmm.
we are making the ultimate merry millennial Christmas movie.
Okay.
Here's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I have put together a sort of choose your own adventure style, I guess, game. And we are going to
are you
make
playing MASH right now.
In a way, it's similar to MASH.
Yes!
It's not exactly the same,
okay.
But it's similar to MASH.
Okay,
it's basically I've come up with several different scenarios. I've got actors, actresses, premises for movies. We're going to create a Christmas movie to end all millennial Christmas movies, based on some things
mm-hmm.
from our favorites from over the years, particularly in the 90s and the early 2000s. Because that's our sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is going to be sort of a choose your own adventure. I'm going to go down and give us options. We can discuss, and then we'll go over what our movie looks like as a whole. So if you're struggling to find a Christmas movie, just listen to this and we'll give you one. For Back in Time, we're going to do a mini reliving episode.
We are.
So let's fucking do that.
Let's go back in time. All right.
Back in time. All right.
The reason we're in 2003 is sometimes during the holidays, we did a similar thing back in our Halloween block. Sometimes during the holidays, we do an episode where we relive a holiday movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing a full episode because we decided to take it to the limit with our merry millennial Xmas movie. But we're doing a mini reliving of a classic from the early 2000s.
Sure.
On paper, it's a classic. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves.
Okay.
Elf.
Yeah, that's fine.
Elf is a very popular Christmas movie that came out in the early 2000s, in 2003. So we're reliving Elf.
Yes.
For Quimus.
Quimus!
Quimus. Now, I know you did some research.
I did.
I love Elf. I'm just going to say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I know you're going to try.
Well, I just have random facts.
Okay. I know you don't love it. I like it a lot. It's one of my staples.
I don't watch it. I've probably maybe watched it once fully. From beginning to end.
See, I probably watch it like every year. It's one of my favorites. The thing I love about it is how quotable it is.
I do often quote, "Bye, buddy. I hope you find your dad. I do often quote that.
I think I say son of a nutcracker like once a day. I also often do the Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Like a lot. But yeah, it's very quotable. He's an angry elf, you know, stuff like that. Good shit.
Okay, so would you like to hear some fun facts I found out?
I would absolutely love to hear some fun facts, because I don't really know that many fun facts about it.
Okay, so Jim Carrey was the first choice to play Buddy the Elf.
I think
it's because of Grinch that they considered him.
Which I understand. And I'm not, I think he would have done well, but I think it would have been a different movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, not bad, just different.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Will Ferrell is, like, great. Jon Favreau, the director, he voiced the narwhal. Bye, buddy. I hope you find your dad.
He's also the doctor
when
they get the DNA test.
Turns out I'm 100% that bitch.
That's what Buddy said when he found out.
He did.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Dad. It turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's where Lizzo got it.
Yeah.
Just quoting Elf.
The plagiarism case was settled.
The only CGI was some snow.
That's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love hearing that, especially now when, like,
everything's CGI.
CGI, AI, fuck me up, nothing's real.
Yeah, but they used, like, this I did know, like, before I searched. What is it called? Like, forced perspective.
Okay.
So, they had everyone behind Will Ferrell making them seem smaller to what he was.
Yeah, because he's the human.
Yes.
Because I know some of the actors, and they're not little people.
Right.
And then the other elf, the guy that plays, I don't remember his name in it, because they're all named, like, Bobo and Bing Bong and shit, but he plays one of, like, the toy, not factory, but, you know, like, the foreman or whatever. He's the guy from A Christmas Story.
Oh, yes.
The actor. Mm-hmm, yeah.
With the glasses.
Yeah. I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, that was one of the fun facts, but I'm like, if you just go to IMDb, you would know that. So that's not a fun fact.
Yeah, well, I just said it. So yeah, also exactly. We got it.
The Throne of Lies fight scene was all done in one take.
I believe that.
Because so it took the art department over 2 weeks to create the Lego cityscape, light bright display, and miniature train setup. So once it was down, it was down.
Yeah, I believe that.
They had to do it in one take.
But also, like, that scene is so chaotic. And that's another one of the,
I don't know what that scene is.
It's when, okay, it's another one of the ones I quote a lot. So it's when Buddy is excited for Santa to come.
Santa's coming! That, like, in the store.
Santa!
Yeah.
I know him. Mm-hmm. I know him. So, like, when Santa actually comes, and obviously it's just, like, a mall Santa.
Right.
He's like, that's not Santa. That's not Santa. He's lying to you. And then he goes up to him and says, "You sit on a throne of lies." And then they get into an actual physical altercation and it destroys the whole, like, scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's very chaotic, and I believe that they didn't want to rebuild that scene. And I also believe that it didn't seem too produced. You know what I mean? It just seemed like, let's fucking fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I say you sit on a throne of lies a lot. I also yell
a lot of
Santa
people do,
thing.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very quotable.
Will Ferrell turned down $29 million for Elf 2 because he thought it would be bad.
I respect the fuck out of that, because mm-hmm. it would be. And who was it recently? Kirsten Dunst, who was like, they asked her about doing more Bring It Ons, and she was like, we don't have to redo everything. Some things can just be in the past and be good. Yeah. That's not. I respect the fuck out of that, mm-hmm. especially now when, like, everybody's just doing the cash grab to remake everything. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Elf 2 would be good. But what would that even be?
Will Ferrell was just like, nah.
No.
We're not doing that.
No. That would be stupid. Mm-hmm. It would have ruined it, too. I hate when they do that. You could really ruin a whole thing with a giant bunch of sequels.
Yeah.
You said the same thing about the Santa Claus.
Oh, I don't watch it. The other ones don't exist to me.
Yeah. I saw one of the other ones in theaters, though, when I was a kid.
I mean, I probably did.
I remember a girl I went to school with, her birthday was in, like, December. So mm-hmm. for her birthday party, we went to the movies. And it was, like, one of the Santa Claus movies.
Was it with Jack Frost?
I think so. I think it might have been that one, but mm-hmm. I really don't remember. I blocked it out.
Yeah, they're not good. I do not recommend. The only good one is the first one.
Yeah. So, see, it could have been the same kind of thing. I mean, yeah. How many Home Alones fucking were there?
All suck, so.
I don't like it in general, but I mean, they got, objectively, I think, worse the further they went. So, yeah. Why keep doing it?
Yeah, they even made one without the same person.
Yeah, it's a different kid.
Yeah. No one likes that. So some of the sets were built in an abandoned mental hospital called Riverview Hospital.
That's spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good spook.
Apparently that hospital was a set piece for a lot of different movies.
Huh. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. The Jack in the Boxes were remote controlled by Favreau, so Will Ferrell's reactions were genuine. He was genuinely scared of when they were going to pop up.
I fucking love that. Mm-hmm. And being a Jon Favreau fan, that makes sense.
Yeah, that seems like I love that. So, like, I would also be just as anxious. Like, yeah. Oh my, what is it? Like, I'm not afraid of them, but just
but
like
when you know something's gonna happen, but you don't know when.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they wanted that like honest reaction of just like pure terror of Will Ferrell.
I love that.
Yeah, and then the first idea of Elf came in 1993.
Wow,
it took 10 years to make.
I mean, I get it. I think it wouldn't have been, again, the same kind of movie if it would have come out in the 90s, because, like, 90s Christmas movies, while some of them are really good, they're just different. Like, the early 2000s, I feel like I tend to prefer some of those Christmas movies a little bit more, maybe just because that's when I was growing up, so it's more nostalgic, but I like the little bit of a modern edge that they got. Mm-hmm. I like that they got a little less, I don't want to be a dick and say, like, corny, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Like, there was, like, the super corny 80s holiday movies, and then it got a little less, but there was still very, like, there was just a different tone to, like, 90s Christmas movies. Not bad at all, just different. But they seemed more like real movies in the 2000s. Like, they were Christmas, mm-hmm. but they didn't have to be.
Right.
Like, they just seemed like a real movie, and not this, like, exact formula that it kind of was. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that's just how I feel. So I'm glad that it came out in the early 2000s.
Me too.
The reason I like it so much is because, obviously, Will Ferrell is fucking hilarious. And it's nice because it's, like, it's got a lot of different kinds of humor. Like, it can be funny for kids to watch, mm-hmm. but it's also funny for adults to watch. And they all seem like real people. Like, it doesn't seem, like, super outlandish. Like, I genuinely believe they're like, what the fuck is up with this guy? They're like, he's got mental problems.
What the fuck is up, Kyle?
You got me again. but yeah, I like it's funny their reactions to something so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he never wavers. He's like, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
My only real complaint, I'm not a big Zooey Deschanel fan.
That song was done specifically for her.
Oh, she's good at singing it. I don't mean that.
Yeah, well, that like that wasn't like in the movie until she was cast.
I believe that. But it was on her, she's in a band. It's called She and Him. Hmm. And it's on one of their Christmas albums. I don't know what came first, like, but
the chicken or the egg.
Yeah. I'm not usually a big fan of hers, but I do like her in that movie. I think she was a good choice for Jovi. So I liked them. They had good chemistry. It was cool. I really like the relationship that he has with the little brother, because they're like always they're doing this like delinquent shit, but it's not out of wanting to be delinquents. Like they're just genuinely trying to have a good time. He's like, "How are we gonna get the star on top?" And then he jumps on and they cut down that tree in Central Park, which is a federal offense. But it's cute. Crime has never been so cute.
Right.
No, I just really like it. I think it's a fun one. I think it's one that a lot of people like.
A lot of people do like it. I think Mike's dad really likes it.
Yeah. I watch it. I got Fuchs the dog, who is, you know, knock on all the wood. His toy this year is a Buddy the Elf toy. It's just what was on sale. But I usually just get him one toy. Because he's not as interested in toys. You know, he's older.
Yeah. I mean, Cheeto, like, doesn't really play anymore.
Yeah. But he does like to have something to open. He gets really excited on Christmas. He likes to open a present. He likes to open everybody else's presents. And he will play with his toy. So I usually just get him one, you know. And then he'll get, like, you know, treats or if he needs things. But I got him just, like, his Buddy the Elf toy. So, and it has to be the right size. It can't be any bigger than about that.
Oh, I mean, he's a small dog.
He's a little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, Buddy the Elf. Good shit.
Yeah. Have you ever made the spaghetti?
No, I think that would be disgusting.
I never know until you try.
I think I know.
I mean, I love sweets.
I do, but I not like super sweet. Like, I would hate something like that. That's like a bunch of shit altogether. Like, I'm a very one note bitch when it comes to my sweets.
Oh, I love all the things.
I think it can be too sweet. I gravitate more towards savory shit. I used to, when I was a kid, I would definitely gravitate more towards sweet, but I've matured into a savory bitch.
I'm a sweet bitch. I'm a savory bitch, too. I'm a food bitch, okay?
Yeah, if I can eat it, I'm set.
Let me put it in my mouth.
Yeah. Funny the elf, let me put it in my mouth.
But, like, I have to end on sweet.
Okay.
Like, if I have chips, I have to, like, if I'm snacking,
yeah,
I have to, like, have something sweet after.
I'm not that way.
It can be one single Tootsie Roll. It can be, like, it can be a mint. It can be a soda.
Huh.
Like, I have to have sweet to end my savory.
See, if I'm, this is something weird that I do that is, like, kind of the opposite. If I'm having something that's, like, really sweet, like a piece of chocolate cake that's, like, really rich, you know how some people will drink, like, a sweet coffee with it or, like, milk or something that, like, really... I drink, like, Diet Coke, and yes, I love Diet Coke because I'm a profoundly broken person, but it, like, cuts the sweet a little bit for me. Okay. It makes it less overwhelming.
Well, a coffee and milk cuts the sweet. That's the point of it.
But it doesn't for me. That's the thing. It doesn't. I need something that's, like, completely different. I don't know. But yeah, I do that.
So fake sugars to counteract the real sugars.
You know, Diet Coke is, like, a little bitter. It's got a little, it's not, like, overwhelmingly sweet.
I just don't like it.
I fucking love it. It's amazing. Were there any early 2000s? This doesn't have to be 2003, but early 2000s Christmas movie honorable mentions that you want to throw in as, like, that you love for the Christmas season?
The Grinch.
Yep.
It's not honorable mention. It is better.
Okay, but we'd already done 2000.
I know.
So we couldn't do it.
But you're, it is, whatever.
What?
The Grinch. Polar Express.
Ew.
Do you get the ick from it?
Yeah, it's because of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Shit, I don't like how they look.
Yeah. Four Christmases. I thought that was good.
I watch that a lot. It's usually just on. They put it on a lot of the platforms. It's not one of my favorites, but it is fun. I think Vince Vaughn is really funny.
I love Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, so I'll watch him in almost anything. So, like, he makes it funny.
The Holiday.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My Man, Jack Black.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I never really loved The Family Stone, but never I think I'm going to like it because Diane Keaton passed away this year.
Mm.
So I think I will try to watch it.
Jim Carrey's A Christmas Carol?
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I like that one. I know a lot of people hate Christmas with the Cranks, but I usually end up watching it at least once. I don't like it, but I like hate watching it at least once.
Disney Channel original film, The Ultimate Christmas Present, came out in 2000. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I only watch the ones that I watch.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many. I'm like, I've never seen this in my life.
I feel the same. I'm looking through right now some of the ones that I may have missed.
Like, what the fuck are these?
Seems like I missed a lot.
Oh, what is this? 12 Men of Christmas? What?
Oh, shit. Porn.
Eight Crazy Nights. Adam Sandler. That's not Christmas, but it's...
It's, yeah.
It's within Christmas, because Hanukkah holidays. Is within... Yeah, yeah, it's holidays. It's holidays. I love Eight Crazy Nights.
Me too.
Maybe I'll go home and watch that.
Well, we hope you guys are hitting play on some great Christmas and holiday movies, and let's hit play on our... Ultimate Merry Millennial Christmas movie.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this works out, what you have planned for me. The 30 Dirty and Dying merch shop is officially open. We've got 30 Dirty and Dying shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more for your sick, sad millennial vibes. Grab yours now and look out for seasonal items and sales at 30dirtypod.com. That's 30 dirtypod.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We're directing our ultimate Christmas movie. So here's how this is going to work.
Okay.
I'm going to go down. I have some different categories for how we make the decisions. Mm-hmm. Consider this our production meeting.
Okay.
And we're going to choose different things.
All right.
And then we're gonna go through and put it all together.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
First, we're going to pick our time setting.
Okay.
Now, this is the time setting of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not worry about it. It's being made right now. Let's put it that way. So this is the time setting of the plot.
Okay.
Are we going to make this movie in the late 90s, the early 2000s, the early 2010s, or present day?
Are we choosing different things or are we agreeing together?
I think we have to agree. We have to agree. I love a late 90s moment.
Yeah.
I do. I would love to see a good Christmas movie that was current day.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple good current day Christmas movies.
Yeah, but they're few and far between. I'd love to add to that. So I don't know. I could go either way, though. You pick.
Let's do current. Let's just do current.
Let's do current day.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
Current day. All right. Here's our setting.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in a stereotypical small town, the North Pole?
Okay.
The big city.
Ugh.
Or the English countryside?
Ooh. Okay. So I like the idea of a stereotypical small town or the English countryside. Because fuck a big city. I don't like big cities. The North Pole, whatever.
Yeah, I do have some banging stuff to go along if we did pick the North Pole. So if we don't, I might just tell you what we would have picked later.
Okay, we can talk about that
I got after. Creative.
Okay, so let's go. I'm right now imagining this one. You know what? MM romance. This man is that he's going to go to the English countryside for Christmas because of the Krampus stuff.
Okay, interesting.
In my mind, so
I was picturing like the holiday, like when Cameron Diaz goes. Mm. So that similar vibe though. I'm going to the countryside to find something new.
Okay, let's go to the English countryside.
Okay. What's our genre?
Genre.
Is it a romance, but it's a drama? Mm. She's serious.
No.
Is it a rom-com?
Okay.
Is it a family-friendly?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Or is it science fiction fantasy?
Well, if we're getting Krampus involved.
I don't know that we're getting Krampus involved.
Okay. So let's
saying we can't. It's just, I can tell you that he's not on any of the other
then categories. Let's rom-com.
Rom-com?
Rom-com.
Okay. I think Christmas rom-coms are pretty standard.
Yeah.
Because you can add a lot of other things in because it's Christmas. So it's not super limiting. What's our style? Now, there's only three of these. Live action, animated, or claymation.
Oh my god.
Right? I had to throw that in because of all the old classic claymations.
You don't see claymations now.
No.
So let's fucking make claymation.
This is claymation. It's starting to get
current
weird.
Time claymation.
Rom-com.
Rom-com countryside.
I love this. I love it. Okay. Who's our lead actress? So I guess voice actress. But let's just say that the claymation character also looks like them.
Perfect.
Lindsay Lohan.
Ooh, okay.
Kirsten Dunst. Kiki Palmer.
I love Kiki Palmer.
Or Tia Mowry.
Kiki Palmer.
I agree. I was hoping, because I love Kiki Palmer. All right, who's our supporting actress?
Best friend. Got it.
Maybe. Hilary Duff. Melissa Joan Hart.
Ooh.
Brenda Song.
Love her.
Or Gabrielle Union.
Hilary Duff.
Hilary Duff. Let the rain fall down on the English countryside with Hilary Duff and Kiki Palmer. Their chemistry would be out of this world.
I think it'd be really good.
They seem like a great combo.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood, I hope you're listening. Make this fucking movie.
And pay us.
All right. We have lead actor.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Jaleel White, who is Urkel?
Yes, I love him.
Who is so beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What a man.
Chad Michael Murray, obviously.
He looked better than he is now, but it's fine.
Adam Brody.
Okay.
Yeah, also having a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Or Freddie Prinze Jr.
Hmm.
I feel like this also sets a different vibe.
Right.
Like, we could go a lot of different ways here.
Cast, I think we should go with Brody.
I'm agreeing. I think Adam Brody...
With the two female characters that we picked...
I could see him working well with either one.
Yes.
Okay, we need a supporting actor. Macaulay Culkin.
Hmm. If Brenda Song, I would say yes, but we didn't pick her.
Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard. There's no other option out
there. Okay, wait. I've actually got 5 options for this one because a supporting actor, I feel like you can open it up a little
bit. Yeah, but it's a rom-com.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Jack Black or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
And also this changes, like who's the supporting actor going to be? Is it more of like the, because Matthew McConaughey would be more like a fun, almost like uncle dad character at this point. But if it's like Jack Black or Matthew Lillard, is that like the fun, funny friend? Like, what are we doing here? Dwayne The Rock Johnson could beat everyone up.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is hard. I love Jack Black with all of my heart.
I know you do.
But I don't want him in this movie.
Scathing.
I know, because a Jack Black movie... is a Jack Black movie. You know what I mean?
He would take it to a different place.
Right. And I don't want that place right now. So I'm going to go with Matthew Lillard.
I agree. I love that. So now, since we figured out who's playing who,
mm-hmm.
which character combos find love? So out of those people we just named, do the lead actress and the lead actor, are those our love? Do the lead and supporting actress find love? Or do the lead and supporting actors find love? Who's our couple in this rom-com?
Well, you know how I love an MM.
I know you do.
It's whatever we want.
Or we could.
What if
have multiple? Like we can have two different love stories happening at the same time. I just put this to guide us, but if we need to mix this up, I'm okay with that.
Hmm.
We could make a triangle. We could make a thrup. It's really whatever you think.
A quartet.
Yeah, that might get a little messy, but... I think personally that Keke Palmer and Hilary Duff would have good friend energy.
Yes.
And not necessarily... I mean, I think they could have good lover energy. I'm not taking that
away
from them.
I want them to be friends.
So I think that they're friends.
I'm trying to think if I want... Keke and Matthew to be together.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm thinking if I want Keke and Adam Brody to be together, because I'm seeing it, and it's working.
Because Kiki's really funny.
It's stirring.
And Matthew Lillard's also very funny.
Yeah, but then Adam Brody is funny in, like, an understated way.
Yeah.
So because she's funnier in, like, an
overstated way?
Yeah, it would be, like, that's a good combo.
Okay.
We could also... Just, you know, I mean, we could.
But what if, okay, so they have something, right?
Adam Brody and Keke Palmer.
But then what if Adam Brody and Matthew Lillard?
So it's a love triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm down.
But what if Kiki's okay with it?
What if she is? All right, I like it. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep it there. Now we get to find our premise. Based on what, I'm going to take the North Pole one out. But I'm gonna read it really quick.
Okay.
An explorer accidentally stumbles across the North Pole and finds the magic of Christmas and love. But I'll take that out. Okay. A high-powered executive returns home after their father's sudden death to run the family Christmas tree farm. A retelling of the story of Rudolph. A retelling of A Christmas Carol. Fucking duh, right? A retelling of The Gift of the Magi.
Don't know what that is.
It's that there's the husband and wife, and they both want to give each other something for Christmas, but they don't have any money. So the wife, to get her husband a new watch thing, cuts her hair and sells it to, like, a wig maker. And the husband sells his watch to get the wife a beautiful comb for her hair. So that's that.
Gotcha.
Or A group of unlikely friends come together to throw the ultimate Christmas rager after the mayor outlaws Christmas parties.
That.
In an English countryside. In present day. Stop motion claymation. We can do it. I'm just trying to keep you abreast of everything we've chosen so far.
Or the Christmas tree farm.
We can come up with any reasoning that we want in post.
We'll do Christmas tree farm.
Okay. Getting it suddenly Hallmark.
Yeah.
But I think I would watch a claymation Hallmark movie before I'd watch the live action ones now.
Yeah.
I have conflicts that we can pick from.
Perfect.
The executive has to decide whether or not to sell the family business or stay for trees and love. Or the executive falls in love with the heir to the rival Christmas tree farm. Or the executive is chosen to run the farm instead of their jealous sibling who sabotages them. Lay gasp.
I like the idea of the rival trees.
I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we have to decide based on that. Who is our executive who's coming back? Who is the rival Christmas tree heir?
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Well, if we're going to have Kiki Palmer and Adam Brody.
Yeah, so which one of them is which is what I'm saying.
Kiki is coming in.
Okay.
Because her dad died.
Okay. And then Adam Brody has been there.
He's been there with his dilapidated tree farm. And he's like, finally, this guy's dead.
I can
become this big thing now.
Yeah.
And then Kiki comes in with her wonderful personality.
Yeah.
And best friend who has a media business.
Love it.
Social media, they can market the Christmas tree farm. Yep.
Yep. And then his friend is just Matthew Lillard, who is like, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How does it end? Everyone finds love and holly jolliness. Your standard happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
The main character dies.
Oh, shit!
So Kiki Palmer dies. But not before learning the true meaning of Christmas and love. The love interest dies. So this would be Adam Brody. And the main character vows to avenge their death. Or, cliffhanger, there'll be a sequel.
Sequel.
There'll be a sequel. We just talked about in the back of time how much sequels ruin this shit. But we're gonna do it.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
We're gonna do it. All right.
It's gonna be a Scream situation. It's just gonna keep coming forever.
Hey, adulting is hard. We get it. That's why we're affiliates with Uproot Clean. Their pet hair removal and grooming supplies make being a pet owner and keeping a clean house so much easier. We recommend you give them a try and make sure you use our code 30DirtyDyingPodcast10.
Which one of these Christmas songs is gonna be our theme song? It's in all the commercials, it's in the credits, and we have a banging new cover by an emerging artist. Feliz Navidad.
21 Pilots.
The First Noel.
21 Pilots.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Ice Nine Kills.
Silent Night.
No, that's Ice Nine Kills.
Okay. Have yourself...
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, okay. No. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Mmm.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays by NSYNC. Which,
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Last Christmas by my king, George Michael. Silver Bells.
All I Want for Christmas Is You is overplayed.
I agree.
So we don't want that.
I agree.
Feliz Navidad. You don't see that a lot.
You don't. And it's one of my favorite Christmas songs. However, with the movie we've made, I don't know how much sense this would make.
Does any of it really make sense?
True, but I think this would be, like, really weird.
Okay.
I mean, I love it. I think based on the tone, like...
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
I think that one, or I'll Be Home for Christmas, because she's coming home to, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, I think one of those, or maybe, like, I could see...
Silver Bells is too slow.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
And same with I'll be home for Christmas.
Could jazz it up. We could have someone do a snappy cover.
That's true.
Imagine Sabrina Carpenter doing a poppy cover of this for a stop-motion claymation rom-com in the English countryside.
And then in the end, she has a concert and she's claymated.
Yes! Okay. But that we could do that for any of these songs, though.
That's
so
true. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That's okay. That's in my gut.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. We can choose to add a wild card into this situation.
All right.
Where it changes the entire tone of the movie, potentially.
A murder.
That's one of the wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's suddenly a murder, or it's suddenly a psychological thriller, or something else.
It's suddenly a psychological thriller because Adam Brody's character is actually in a coma, and this is his brain the whole time.
Okay. So he's been in a coma the whole time?
Yeah, and it was actually Matthew Lillard that pushed him off the mountain.
Okay. Or, yeah, okay. Like, while they were farming Christmas trees?
Yeah.
I love that.
Is why it ends on a cliffhanger, because he wakes up.
Yeah, and it's like, is Kiki really there? Is she not? Does he wake up and is he okay?
And that's why it's claymation, because it's in his head.
Yeah.
And he wakes up, it's him.
So then the sequel is live action.
Yes.
And it's what happens.
It's figuring
next.
Out what happened.
Oh, I love it.
I have chills.
What are we going to call it? I'm picturing like snow globe. Like the cover, I'm picturing like the Christmas tree farm and everything in a snow globe, because the snow globe is like
his
a
mind.
Metaphor because it's in his mind.
Okay.
So that's what I'm thinking for the cover.
Perfect.
Or like the poster, what I'm thinking, like the cover of a DVD because I'm 100. But like the
I was
name.
Thinking the VHS tape. Okay.
110. Pine? Maybe? Something with pine? Because if it is that he was in love with her, but she went away, it's like he's been pining for her for all this time. That he's...
What if she's been dead the whole time?
Yikes. We'll have to find that out in the sequel. Can you imagine he like goes to finally like tell her how much he loves her and she's dead?
Dang.
And Matthew Lillard killed her? Because he knew that Adam Brody was in love with her.
And he loved him.
Yeah.
And wanted to be with him.
This is getting good.
What if... Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I have an idea. Okay.
She has an idea.
So what if all of this is actually happening, right? So, like, she actually did come because her dad died.
Yeah.
They did the farm thing. They're falling in love.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard's character loves Adam Brody, right?
Right.
So he kills Kiki Palmer.
Okay.
And then he... pushes Adam Brody off the tree farm mountain. And because he's in a coma, it's all in his head of the whole story that happened. And then, like, whenever he wakes up, that's when the sequel comes. And then Matthew Lillard's, like, been by his side the whole time, like, holding his hand because he loves him, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't remember anything. He was like, what happened? And Matthew Lillard's telling him the story that he has, like, concocted.
And at the same time, Hilary Duff, who's back in the big city, is like, what happened to my friend? And she's unraveling the mystery at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sequel, they cross paths.
Yes.
And that's how he finds out the truth. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it has to be a trilogy.
It has to.
Yeah. What about, like, Pining for You?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it, too, because, again, you think it's like, okay, this is just like a sappy ass, haha, uh-huh. Hallmark Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then it gets intense.
It gets intense.
I like it. Pining yeah. for You.
Yeah, and then what if... within the movie, like, all the cute things that are happening, right? But then there's, like, little snippets of scenes that get dark.
Yeah. I love that. Or, like, you see, like, them, like, Kiki Palmer and Adam Brody, like, in the Christmas tree farm, and they're, like, laughing and joking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might not notice it the first time you watch it, but if you watch it again, and you look in the background, Lillard's behind a tree just watching them, and
mm-hmm.
the screen suddenly gets a little darker,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you didn't notice it at first.
Right.
But the second time it's like The Sixth Sense. When you watch The Sixth Sense the second time, you notice things. It's like that.
Mm.
I think we just made the best Christmas movie of all time.
I think we did.
I really, if somebody wants to make this, please do it.
Well, please consult us.
Yeah.
We're trademarking it right now.
That's not how it works.
And we need to be compensated.
Please.
Well.
Yeah. Coming soon. Pining for You. Honestly, we could.
Yeah. Why not?
I think we could. I think we should. Look out in 2026. Let's see what happens.
Did I tell you about the book that I started writing?
No. Are you being serious?
Yes,
is this real?
It is real.
What did you start writing?
It is an MMM. Sports romance.
Yikes. What sport?
On guard.
Fencing?
Fencing.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say shuffleboard for a sec.
Oh, that would be hilarious. I'm titling it One for All.
I've heard rumors of this fencing prodigy, Julian Cross, being the future of fencing. I assumed he was going to be good, but I didn't expect him to be this good. The way he moves is beautiful. I'm almost happy that I don't have to compete against him since teams don't compete. I love that you're throwing in the rules.
I researched so much about fencing. And I'm like, what if this book just starts to be about fencing?
Earth to Luke. You good, bro? I love this. Courtney's going to be an author. Pining for You is a joint venture, and she's going to write All for One. And
One for All, because there's three of them.
I'm sorry. I mixed it up. So yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff happening. You guys can look forward to that. Christmas 2026. Maybe. I don't know. I had fun. I think it's good.
I just can't sit down and write, but I can give you all the ideas.
I think that I love that
I'm you're an ideas girl.
I love that you're in your creative era.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything you said today about like doing this and the book that you're now writing. I love that you're in your creative era. I'm trying to get back into my creative era. Maybe next year we'll be in our creative eras together, and who knows what that can bring. A bitchin' season of the pod, probably.
Yeah.
But if you guys liked this like, choose-your-own-adventure style shit, I loved doing this.
I want to play MASH.
Okay. We'll do more of this next season. I had a great time. If you guys loved it, too, let us know. But I hope you enjoyed Pining for You, and it's your new favorite Christmas movie. It's very millennial. It's very magical. And we hope you're having a merry millennial Christmas.
And we hope that you enjoyed your family time. We hope that you got gifts that you had hoped for. Or yeah. If you're not a gift-receiving person, that you liked how people received your gifts.
Yeah, and hey, if you're not having a traditional holiday and none of that applies to you, we just hope you're having a good time. We hope that we helped you have a good time and enjoy the day, enjoy the week. If this is a hard time for you, hopefully this made it a little more fun. And we turned some Christmas traditions on their head. And sometimes that's all you need, is something that's a little bit different. Yeah. So we love being that for you. And we loved spending Christmas with you this year.
And then we'll see you next week.
For our season finale. So join us again on New Year's Day for our season finale. Start New Year's the right way with 30 Dirty and Dying. And we'll see you there.
Bye! All the things you said, all the things you said, running through my head, running through my head, all the things you said.